And in faith, the Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And so I trust that you really approach your prayer group that way, and that you pray in unity, you pray in faith, and I pray these, many of these prayers are a result of people's efforts of witnessing, and they have put feet to their prayers. Now let's empower their efforts as we seek the throne of grace and God Himself to do what needs to be done. James chapter 2, a great passage of Scripture. We're going to start on verse number 17. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O man, vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he hath offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see how, then how that by works a man is justified, not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Now, as we look at this passage of Scripture, it is not saying that you're saved by works. It's not saying that at all. That would obviously be contradictory to the Word of God. It would be contradictory to the whole premise of why Jesus Christ had to die. It'd be contrary to the premise that all our righteousness are as filthy rags. It would be contrary to the premise that Jesus Christ was the propitiation for all our sins. The payment was fully paid on Calvary's cross. And all those theological issues and justification and all those particulars. But really, the issue here is describing what real faith is. That's what really is the issue here. And we use the word, uses the word dead faith versus living faith or real faith or alive faith. Now, it gives the illustration here in verse number 19. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Now, here we find an illustration of dead faith. Maybe a better word would be merely intellectual faith. Intellectual faith. Now, what do the devils believe? Well, you know, when Jesus came to this earth, what did the demons say? Turn to Mark chapter 1. Verse 23, and there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. Now notice, here's a demon in a man, and this demon knows who Jesus Christ is. He knows that Jesus Christ is the Lord of all. He knows that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He knows that Jesus Christ will cast Satan and his demons into hell forever. He knew exactly who Jesus is. You know, the devil is orthodox in his belief. The devil, he knows that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The devil knows that Jesus Christ is the Savior. The devil knows that Jesus died for all a man's sin at Calvary's cross. The devil knows that Jesus rose from the dead. The devil knows that Jesus is standing at the right hand of the throne of God today. The devil knows that Jesus is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and that he will come back and sit on the throne of David. The devil knows that Jesus will cast all the lost into hell forever and ever. The devil knows everything there is to know about Jesus. He believes all the facts about Jesus Christ. But the devil will never go to heaven. The devil will never go to heaven. Because the devil only has intellectual knowledge. Intellectual knowledge of Jesus Christ. Oh, yes. I mean, you could not convince the devil that Jesus is the Savior. You could never convince him that he wasn't the Savior. You could never persuade him to think that Jesus didn't raise from the dead. You could never persuade the devil to think any of those things, because he knows and the facts 100% inside and out. But you know, the devil is never going to do anything about those facts. The devil is never going to do anything about those facts. The devil is never going to receive Jesus Christ as his Savior. The Bible says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The devil will never personally receive Jesus Christ as his Savior. Oh, he believes all the facts about Jesus Christ. Now, but he'll never receive Jesus as a Savior. The devil will never, figuratively, the devil will never get on his knees and repent of his sins and ask Jesus Christ to save him. The devil will never call upon Jesus Christ to be his Savior. The devil will never turn from his sin and turn to Jesus Christ. The devil will never do anything about what he knows to be true about Jesus Christ. You see, the devil, his faith is only intellectual faith. Only intellectual faith. It isn't living faith. It isn't real faith. You see, dead faith is intellectual. There is no motion in it. There's no action in it. There is no response in it. It is just an intellectual knowledge. But real faith is alive. Real faith does something. A real faith responds to the facts. But the devil's never going to respond to the facts. You know, being raised in kind of a Presbyterian Lutheran home, and as I witness to Lutherans, oh, I feel so bad for Lutherans. I feel so bad for them. Because I know what it was like, I know how they think. I remember being a kid and thinking, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe, yeah, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe. You know? And you're almost forcing, you know, you're forcing it into your brain. I believe, I believe. And then you say, oh, I don't know, I have eternal life, I hope so. But you know, that isn't faith that saves, is it? Oh, it's torturing. I asked a Lutheran boy yesterday, and I was talking to this Lutheran boy. I figured he was probably Lutheran. Yeah, I think he told me he's Lutheran. I said, now, if your best friend came up to you and said, I have 10 minutes to live, tell me, how can I know for sure I'm going to heaven? And he says, well, just tell him. All he has to do is, believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross. Really? I said, just believe he died on the cross. Believe that he's the Savior. Oh yeah, that's all you got to do. Just believe that he died on the cross. Because you see, intellectual faith. You know, if you would say to a Lutheran that they aren't a Christian, they would be upset. You know why? Because when you tell them that, they think that you are telling them that they don't believe that Jesus Christ lived. You're telling them that they don't believe that Jesus Christ died. Well, of course they believe Jesus Christ died. Of course they believe he lived. Of course they believe he's the Savior. Of course. But you see, they have the wrong definition of believe. It's intellectual assent. Intellectual assent. And you know, if you think about that, that is the philosophy of liberalism, and that is the philosophy of new evangelicalism. New evangelicalism for the last 60 years has said that conversion is not an instantaneous experience, but conversion is a process. What do they mean by that? Oh, yeah, we believe it's a process. It's a process of coming under conviction of the Holy Spirit and coming under the conviction of the Holy Spirit and receiving that conviction and a repentance being worked in your heart and admitting you're lost on your way to hell. You deserve to go to hell, and seeing yourself as a rebel and seeing yourself as a rotten sinner and coming to the end of your willfulness and turning to Jesus Christ and trusting him and turning to him and calling upon him. Yeah, we know that's a process, but the moment a person believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, they're saved. Instantaneously. Praise God. Instantaneous conversion throughout the Bible. The publican, he smote his breast and he kept on saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, this man hath left this place justified. The thief on the cross said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus says, today you'll be with me in the kingdom of God. There's an instantaneous conversion. Okay? Yeah, there was a process that brought you that point of faith and a point of turning and a point of trusting. But that moment of trusting, that moment of believing, that moment of turning was the moment that you were born again. But it isn't a process of knowing the facts better and better and better and better. It's not a process of knowing the facts better and better and better. Well, then nobody could be saved, because nobody could ever know all the facts. But you know, there is an example that all around us, we are surrounded with people who have dead faith. We are surrounded with people who have a faith that is just the facts. Oh yeah, I believe the facts. I believe the facts. I believe the facts. Yeah, Jesus died. Jesus rose again. Yeah, Jesus is the Savior. Oh yes, yes. But that doesn't save you. When you make Jesus your Savior, when you make him your Lord, when you receive him, now that's active faith. That is faith that is living. Why? Because it does something. It's acting. There's a transaction that takes place in the soul. Turn to Romans 5. Actually, it's Romans 4. Here, this is talking about Abraham. And the messenger came to Abraham and said, now, Abraham, you and Sarah are going to have a son. And Abraham, he thought, can't happen. I'm 100 years old. And physically, I'm not able to have a child. And Sarah's 90 years old. And she's past the age of a woman having ability to bear a child. And it physically can't happen, but the angel said it's going to happen. And God said that Abraham, Sarah, that's where the Messiah was going to come from. And notice it said here, verse 17 says, as I've written, I've made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and called those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope. that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which is spoken, so shall thy seed be. This is talking about the promise in Genesis, where God said that Abraham's seed would be as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sea, sand of the sea. And it says, but, verse 19, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. So here is the thing. Abraham, everything said, don't believe God's promise. His body, his wife's body, all those things said, there's no way that God's promise can be fulfilled. But it said that he didn't let that bother him. He said, the angel said, I'm going to have a child. And this is going to be the Messiah. And from this child, there is going to be a multitude of people born. And it says that he was fully persuaded. He was fully persuaded. He was fully persuaded that what God said, he was able to do. He was fully persuaded that the promise of God, that God did not lie. And so what happened? In his soul, he decided to trust God's promise to be true. He decided that he was going to believe that what God said was going to happen was going to happen. You know, it was alive. It was living faith. It was reacting. It was acting on God's promise. And he was giving himself to the promise of God. He was giving himself to be God's vessel. You see, there was action there. Faith has action. Faith isn't dead. Faith is alive. You know, if you were on the fifth story of a building and there's a fire, and fire is sweeping the building, the hallway is full of fire, the fire is coming into your room, and you go out to the window, and the firemen are down there with a net, and they say, jump! You never jumped before. Some people say, I can't do it. Yeah, some people say, I can't do it. And they run back into the fire and perish in the fire. Because they can't bring themselves to decide to be completely dependent on those men down there. They can't bring themselves. You see, faith is alive. It processes the truth and it decides what it's going to do. Is it going to depend on the promise? Is it going to depend upon the God who gave the promise? Does he believe? You know, if you believe God is true and God is great and God keeps his word, then you can say, okay, I give myself to depend upon him. Living faith. You know, faith isn't dead. Faith is alive. It's real. It isn't just mental acceptance of the facts. It's acting upon the facts. And in the Christian life, faith is real. It's alive. And Abraham showed that he had faith over and over. By what? By responding to and obeying and submitting himself to God's word. God said, go! He says, and Abraham didn't really say this. Where am I supposed to go? What's it like? He said, just go. And the Bible says he went not knowing whether he went. Why? Because he was persuaded that God was good and whatever God said was the right thing. And because he was persuaded that God was good and that his plan was perfect, he obeyed. He responded. Faith is real. Faith is alive. And the Bible says in that passage, it says, as the body without the spirit is dead. Well, it gives us good insight into what death is. Death isn't necessarily when your heart stops, because people could have an artificial heart and it could keep pounding. You know? And some people say, well, they're brain dead, they're dead. Well, no, that's not necessarily so. All of a sudden, the brain starts working later on. You know, it's dead when God calls the Spirit. And faith is real, because real faith is living. It is acting. It is alive. You know, even tonight as we pray, you have a decision. You have a decision if you're going to really believe God. You know, you can just say words, right? Or you could decide that you're believing God when you pray. You know, there's a real transaction of the soul, isn't there? You know, that's why many times we don't pray very big prayers, is because we realize that this is kind of risky. You know, kind of risky. Asking God for something big. Well, if we don't have much faith, it's going to be pretty hard to ask God for something big, isn't it? Because faith is real. And faith is a vital part of our prayer life. You know, the Bible says, the wicked flee when no man pursueth. You know, if a person isn't right with God, they see a communist behind every bush, or a boogeyman behind every bush. You know? Because why? They don't have any confidence in God. They don't have the confidence God is going to protect them. Because they can't have confidence because they're not right with God. But you know, the Bible says the righteous are as bold as a lion. I'm not afraid. You know, I read about some Muslim men who got converted. And they wrote a pamphlet. And they had these men's pictures on it. And their names. And this is Muslim territory. And they had their testimonies in there. And they were passing this out. And they said, well, they said, maybe we shouldn't have your names on here. And maybe we shouldn't have your pictures on here. Because, you know, they're probably going to come and kill you. And they said, of course put our names there. And of course put our picture there. We are saved. We're the children of the living God. He can protect us. You know, that's faith, isn't it? Faith is real. I wonder tonight, if you have that kind of Lutheran faith that's just mental acknowledgement. That's all it is. You know what? Your faith isn't any better than the devil. Real faith acts upon those truths. That real faith turns to Jesus Christ and depends on Jesus Christ and decides to receive Him as their Lord and Savior because they truly have living faith. Do you have living faith? Maybe tonight you need to take those facts that you have and you need to do something about it. You need to turn to Jesus Christ as your Savior and commit your soul and all your sin to Him and trust Him with all your sin tonight to be your Savior. That's real faith. And that's saving faith. It's alive. I trust that you know what I'm talking about tonight. Living faith. Let's pray. Father, pray that you'll use the Word of God tonight to make us aware that dead faith is just merely knowing the facts. And dead faith can be this new kind of faith that is all about being emotionally stirred up by some rock music. But real faith is acting upon the facts, the truth of Jesus Christ, and turning in full dependence, and turning in repentance as a sinner on the Savior, believing that He will save us. And I pray that that soul that's here tonight that has never exercised real faith, that they would this night decide to exercise saving faith in the finished blood of Jesus Christ and trust Him once and for all as their Lord and Savior. Help us, Lord, in our daily life to have living faith. Faith that works, faith that acts by independence upon you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.